Well, praise the Lord today. Matthew 18, verses 2 and 3. Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Converted, to turn or turn around, to turn oneself, it speaks of being strengthened from the base. To turn oneself from one's course of conduct. Acts chapter 3, beginning of verse 19, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." Converted, to turn to the worship of the one true God, to cause to return, to bring back to the love and obedience of God, to the love for the children, to love wisdom and righteousness, to turn oneself about. You know, this is the miracle work of the gospel of Jesus Christ. John 14, 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." 1 Timothy 1, 15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Death to life, sinner to saint, old creation to new creation, convict to convert. There is salvation in no other and in no other name. Only Jesus can save us. We've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Humanity, humankind. The third chapter of the book of Genesis holds the record of the great act of sin and disobedience, rebellion that caused the fall. Humanity separated from God, the great schism that produced the great chasm. No way back. No way to cross except for the grace and mercy of God that would be made manifest and realized in his Son, Jesus Christ. The laying down of his life, the bridge of redemption and reconciliation. Romans 1, verses 16 and 17, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." You know, whoever we are, whoever you are, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God. It's the power of God to salvation. The Bible is clear, unless we are converted, unless you are converted. Repent, therefore, and be converted. Come to Jesus. And come to the Father through Jesus. Jesus came. He lived on this earth. He came into the world and paid the price on the cross for the sins of humanity and humankind. He died on that cross. He was buried. And 3 days later, he rose again in victory, having conquered sin and death. This Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This Jesus came into the world to save us. Jesus came to save you. We know of the great and miraculous conversion of Saul turned the Apostle Paul. I mean, what an encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. A man misguided in his zeal, a man in need of salvation, a sinner. For listen to the entirety of his words, 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The Message paraphrase, here's a word you can take to heart and depend on. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. I'm proof. Public sinner number one. Proof of someone who could never have made it apart from sheer mercy. The mercy of God. J.B. Phillips, New Testament, I'm deeply grateful to our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom I owe all that I have accomplished, for trusting me enough to appoint me his minister, despite the fact that I had previously blasphemed his name, persecuted his church, and damaged his cause. I believe he was merciful to me because what I did was done in the ignorance of a man without faith. And then he poured out his grace upon me, giving me tremendous faith in and love for himself. This statement is completely reliable and should be universally accepted. Christ Jesus entered the world to rescue sinners. I realized that I was the worst of them all, and that because of this very fact, God was particularly merciful to me. It was a kind of demonstration of the extent of Christ's patience towards the worst of men, to serve as an example to all who in the future should trust him for eternal life. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. You know, he paid my debt. He paid your debt. Oh, that more would come to this knowledge. Accept the truth. It's the only hope for humankind, for humanity. He paid my debt, and I am a debtor. Oh, that more would live the life. It's the life of the redeemed, the Christian that is a Christian. My debt to Jesus Christ. And listen to these words, Romans 1, 14 to 17. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as is in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. The Living Bible reads, "For I owe a great debt to you and to everyone else, both to civilized people and uncivilized alike. Yes, to the educated and uneducated alike. So to the fullest extent of my ability, I am ready to come also to you in Rome to preach God's good news." Philip's New Testament, "I feel myself under a sort of universal obligation. I owe something to all men, from cultured Greek to ignorant savage. That is why I want, as far as my ability will carry me, to preach the gospel to you," in this case, who live in Rome as well. Church, every convert is a debtor. Can't you feel it? Can't we feel it? Debtors to Christ and debtors to men. You know, it really is the conviction of the converted. To Christ and to men. Greeks, barbarians, wise and unwise, civilized and uncivilized, the cultured and the ignorant, savage, mannered or rude, smart or simple. Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 10, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Paul, "As much as is in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel. To the fullest extent of my ability, I'm ready to preach God's good news. I want, as far as my ability will carry me, to preach the gospel." In here, for the gospel should be preached in every church. And out there, in the streets, in the communities, at school, at work, wherever we can, and however we can, in word and in deed. Don't you feel it? I feel myself under a sort of universal obligation. I owe something to all men. You know, aren't we thankful that someone preached to us? I mean, think about it today. Aren't we thankful that someone shared the good news of the gospel with us, that someone felt the universal obligation? Someone preached to us. Oh, how beautiful the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. Bring glad tidings of good things. Acts 22, verses 19 and 20. "So I said, Lord, they know that in every synagogue I imprisoned and beat those who believe on you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I was also standing by, consenting to his death and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. The message at first I objected. Who has better credentials? They all know how obsessed I was with hunting out those who believed in you, beating them up in the meeting places and throwing them in jail. And when your witness, Stephen, was murdered, I was right there holding the coats of the murderers and cheering them on. And now they see me totally converted. What better qualification could I have? You know what preaching Saul heard coming from the mouth of Stephen that day? And then this incredible encounter. Road to Damascus encounter with the living Christ. And the result? A totally converted man. And it was evident. It was obvious. It was blatant. It was manifest. It was visible. It was unmistakable. And Paul was not ashamed. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? The next seven words. For it is the power of God. I mean, who would be ashamed of such power? Who would be ashamed of such a Savior? Who would be ashamed of power unto salvation? And has the power of God really touched our lives? And its living power our reality? I wonder what the power of God produces. What the product looks like. What the product sounds like. What the product acts like. What the product lives like. The power of God. No convert should be covert. Or a covert. The message paraphrase, it's news I'm most proud to proclaim. This extraordinary message of God's powerful plan to rescue everyone who trusts in Him. The Voice Bible, for I am not the least bit embarrassed about the gospel. I mean, why would we be? I won't shy away from it. The Wycliffe Bible, for I shame not the gospel, for it is the virtue of God into health to each man that believeth. Ashamed. Literally, to be ashamed, to feel shame for something. And man, that's good. Proud to proclaim, not the least bit embarrassed. I shame not the gospel. You know what C.S. Lewis said? He said, as Christians, we are tempted to make unnecessary concessions to those outside the faith. We give in too much. Now, I don't mean that we should run the risk of making a nuisance of ourselves by witnessing at improper times, but there comes a time when we must show that we disagree. We must show our Christian colors. If we are to remain true to Christ, we cannot remain silent or concede everything away. Why are some ashamed? Ashamed of the power of God. Why are some ashamed? Well, one reason, not willing to suffer as Christians. 1 Peter 4:16, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. The Amplified Bible, if anyone suffers ill treatment as a Christian because of his belief, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God, because he is considered worthy to suffer in this name. The Voice Bible, if you should suffer for being a Christian, don't think of it as a disgrace, as it would be if you had done wrong. Praise God that you're permitted to carry this name. Rejection, loss of things, be it relational loss, the loss of opportunity, whatever the suffering, whatever the ill treatment. And this can certainly apply. Philippians 3:8-11, yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to, that is, arrive at, the resurrection from the dead. Why are some ashamed? Well, another reason, fear of man. Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe, that is, set on high. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. John 12:42-43, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but listen to these words, because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praises of men more than the praise of God. That's how it is today. There are those that love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Why are some ashamed? Well, there are those, you know, they still love the world. They still love the world, the worldly, and the ensuing ways. Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. John 17:11, now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep them through your name, those whom you have given me, that they may be one, as we are. You know, God cares about unity. Jesus cares about unity. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Apparently, that's what it means to be like Jesus. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them that has set them apart by your truth. Your word is truth. You know, converts are proud. Converts are not ashamed. Converts are peculiar. Converts are salt. And converts are light. Matthew 5, 13 to 16, you are the salt of the earth. Receive the word of the Lord today. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. I mean, what a statement. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Message paraphrase, let me tell you why you're here. Church, converts, Christians, maybe you woke up, God, why am I here? Another day, why am I here? You know, the routine of life kind of gets old, doesn't it? You know, why am I here? Something to live for. Let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I put you there on a hilltop on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. The words of David Wilkerson, Jesus tells us, ye are the light of the world. His statement here is about much more than just doing ministry. It extends beyond teaching, preaching, or passing out tracts. Christ tells us very plainly, ye are the light. He's saying you are not just a reflection of the light. You're not a mere conduit. You are the light itself. And the intensity of your light depends upon the intensity of your walk with me. Do you see what the Lord is implying here? The world recognizes those who walk closely with him. Your neighbors or co-workers may not know about your daily communion with Christ, your faith in him, your utter dependence upon him, but they do see the light that shines from you because of the life you have with him. And as long as nothing hinders that life, your light will continue to shine in the darkness. Ye are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Jesus is saying, I have put you on exhibition to the world. People are looking at you because I've made you a spectacle. You're a light that is not meant to be hidden. Salt, not to lose its flavor. Light, not to be hidden. Not to be put under a basket. No bushels, no basket cases, basket case Christianity. Someone should write a book. Note one definition of covert, a group of bushes and small trees in which animals can hide. A thicket in which game can hide. Light on a stand. giving light, shining before men that they may witness and see. Listen, church, people of God, we are to the world the salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. We are to the world the light of Christ. Heaven forbid we lose our usefulness. We're here to be light, converted to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. Let's go public with this. As public as a city on a hill, he's made us light bearers. He doesn't hide us under a bucket. The hiding is the work of man. When a convert goes covert, a real basket case. You know, it's not on the big Bible today, but Luke 9:26, whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Quite the words. Convert, salt, not ashamed of its makeup and power, ability to season and bring out flavors. Converts, light, is not ashamed of its quality and ability to shine, to illuminate, and to expose. The light of Christ, concerning light. You know, Paul saw how bright the light, the shining was on the road to Damascus. What an incredible encounter. Saul converted. You know, the man was never the same. The man wasn't the same. He didn't live the same. He didn't see the same. He didn't think the same. That's conversion. Like 180. You know, Paul begins living the Jesus life. And the days pass by, seasons, and the Bible records that Saul, Paul's conversion, it actually says, you know, it astounded the disciples. That's what's being said. It was so miraculous. It was so evident, so blatant. It was unmistakable. It changed man. It transformed man, metamorphosed, converted. The Lord begins using the man as salt and light, unashamed of the gospel. People are being impacted and affected by the converted vessel. And people are being converted. People are turning to Jesus. So many lives, so many people, men and women, boys and girls, old and young, young and old. We read of one household in particular and how many more there were. 1 Corinthians 16:15-16, I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas. He is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That you also submit to such and to everyone who works and labors with us. We read like this man here and his house converted. A convert, he and his household, not covert. Changed, transformed. It was blatant, it was obvious, life was different. Remember the jailer in Acts 16? Paul and Silas, unashamed, praying and singing robust hymns of praise at midnight. Divine happenings, a huge earthquake. The jailhouse tottered. Every door flew open. All the prisoners were loose. Startled from sleep, the jailer saw the doors swinging loose on their hinges. Assuming that all the prisoners had escaped, he pulled out his sword and was about to kill himself. Figuring he was as good as dead anyways. But Paul stops the man. Don't do that. We're all still here. Nobody's run away. Reading from the message, the jailer got a torch and ran inside. Badly shaken, he collapsed in front of Paul and Silas. He led them out of the jail and asked, "Sirs, what do I have to do to be saved?" And really live. They said, "Put your entire trust in the Master Jesus." The other translations, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you'll live as you were meant to live. And everyone in your house included." They went on to spell out in detail the story of the Master. The entire family got in on this part. They never did get to bed that night. The jailer made them feel at home, dressed their wounds, and then, you know, he couldn't wait till morning. He couldn't wait till morning. How long have you been waiting? He was baptized. He and everyone in his family. There in his home, he had food set out for a festival meal. It was a night to remember. He and his entire family had put their trust in God. Everyone in the house was in on the celebration. Another man in his entire household, converts, saved, baptized. Can have the worship ministry return. Church, let's remember why Jesus came. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Let's remember what Jesus said. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Converts, let's never let the end fall out of the word. Not ashamed. Let's never be ashamed, and let's never shame the gospel. Let's be willing to suffer as Christians. Let's never fear man. Let's love not the world. Let's intensify our walk with the Lord. Listen, we're debtors. We're debtors to Christ. We're debtors to man. I love Psalm 51:13, and I know the context. "I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you." That's beautiful. The Voice Bible, "I promise to teach rebels your ways and help sinners find their way back to you." The Wycliffe Bible, "I shall teach wicked men thy ways, and unfaithful men shall be converted to thee." You know, Lord, let it be. Converts. Yeah, converts feel it. Debtors to Christ and debtors to men. The words of Charles Spurgeon, "It is no child's play to be a Christian. The Christian life is beyond the poet's meaning, real and earnest. The hills of difficulty which lie before us are no molehills, and the giants and dragons with which we must contend are no phantoms of a disordered brain. When we reach heaven, what monuments of grace we shall be, and how shall we throughout eternity emulate one another's praises? Each one feeling himself to be the deepest debtor to sovereign grace. It will be well for us to remember that the religion of Jesus Christ is not a matter of trifling, that the gaining of heaven is not to be achieved by a few half-hearted efforts. And if we will at the same time recollect that all sufficient succor is prepared for us in the covenant of grace, we shall be in the right state of mind, resolute yet humble, leaning upon the merits of Christ, and yet aiming after personal holiness." A debtor to Christ, to sovereign grace, a debtor to man. Let us feel, and as never before, the universal obligation. Never covert, always convert. Proud to be a Christian. Fear of man? No. In love with the world? No. C.S. Lewis said, "Every story of conversion is the story of a blessed defeat. If conversion makes no improvements in a man's outward actions, then I think his conversion was largely imaginary. Billy Graham said there is a vast difference between intellectual belief and the total conversion that saves the soul. One stated, the evidence of conversion is not a decision card filled out. It's a life being lived out. J.C. Ryle, it costs something to be a real Christian. According to the standard of the Bible, there are enemies to be overcome, battles to be fought, sacrifices to be made, an Egypt to be forsaken, a wilderness to be passed through, a cross to be carried, and a race to run. Conversion is not putting a person in an armchair and taking them easily to heaven. It is the beginning of a mighty conflict in which it costs much to win the victory. Reality. Not subject to personal. Leonard Ravenhill, I think one of the serious breakdowns in modern evangelism is this. It has offered too much for too little. Can you hear these words? I think one of the serious breakdowns in modern evangelism is this. It has offered too much for too little. What we do mostly is offer forgiveness. We need cleansing. There is no true conversion until a man takes up his cross. A.W. Pink, and then I'm done with the quotes. Just as a sinner's despair of any hope from himself is the first prerequisite of a sound conversion, so the loss of all confidence in himself is the first essential in the believer's growth in grace. Convicts? Any convicts in the house today? You don't know Jesus. Never surrendered your life to him. Maybe you even filled out a card one day. Yeah, I accepted him. But there's no change. There's no life change. Life doesn't look different. It's a day of salvation. Converts, it's the time of salvation. Oh man, there are still Greeks, barbarians, wise and unwise, civilized and uncivilized, cultured and the ignorant, savage, mannered or rude, smart or simple. There's still all these to be won. Trophies for Christ. Converts in the house today, those of a true conversion, I encourage you, by the Spirit of the Lord, be salt, be light, preach. Preach in word, preach in deed, preach with your life. You're a living epistle. Never ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and never shame the gospel of Jesus Christ. Never be ashamed of the gospel, for this is the very power of God. Maybe there's someone here and you need to just hear these words. You just need to hear, come out from under that bucket. I don't know what the bucket represents. Come out. Come out from the bushel. That's not God's doing. Perhaps you put yourself there, or you've allowed others to put you there. You know, I almost wanted to bring up a giant bucket today and just stand inside the entire time and preach. Or stand behind a bushel just to get the point across, you know. But that's not Christianity. That's not what we're supposed to be like. God said, I'm not putting you under a bucket. So if you're under a bucket, there's a problem. And it's not God's doing. If you're under a basket, you're a basket case. There's a lot of basket case Christianity today, you know. Shouldn't be that way. Shouldn't be that way. Let's stand in the house of the Lord. Listen, if you need to come to Jesus today, of course, the altar is open. It's a good place to come. Jesus climbed Calvary and went to the cross. The least we can do is get out of our seat. You know, come and surrender your life. Or whoever the word is preaching to you, speaking to you, just let the Spirit speak. God, we want to be those of a true conversion. Converts, Lord. Not ashamed and never ashamed. God, we spurn pride today. Lord, we are willing to be the salt and be the light. No matter if that means acceptance or rejection, God, we spurn and walk away from and cast away from ourselves the fear of man. God, we don't love the world. We love you. We love you, Jesus. We love the Jesus life. We want to live like you want us to live.